Today's Mishnah, we begin the 8th parak of Masechta Brachot. The first Mishnah begins, Elu Dvarim Shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Besuda. The following, meaning these Mishnahs we'll be learning throughout the parak, are the debates between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the schools of Shammai and the school of Hillel, with respect to laws related to Suda to meals. The first debate is as follows, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai says, Mevrech Alayom V'Achakach Mevrech Alayayin, or Beit Hillel Omrim, Mevrech Alayayin V'Achakach Mevrech Alayom. What are we talking about here? We know on the night of Shabbos or night of Yontov, there is a special mitzvah to make Kiddush. What does that mean? We sanctify the day, and we do so on a cup of wine. Consequently, there are two brachot involved. One is a Bri Priya Gafen, which is a bracha on wine, and the other bracha is a bracha to sanctify the day, which, for example, Shabbos is Mekadesh HaShabbat. What Beit Shammai Beit Hillel are debating here is the order of doing so, of reciting these two brachot. So Beit Shammai says, Mevrech al hayom v'achakach mevrech al hayayin, to make Mikdash Shabbat first and then follow with the Bri Priya Gafen. Why? It explains in the Gemara, Shehayom gorem l'yayin she'avo. Meaning, were it not the fact that it is Shabbos, that is what is causing us to make a Bri Priya Gafen at the moment. That is the reason why we're getting here making Kiddush and making Bri Priya Gafen, blessing on wine. Otherwise, presumably, we wouldn't be doing so. Consequently, since it's the day goes first. Beit Hillel, however, disagrees. He says, Mevrech al hayayin v'achacham hevra l'chayom. You make a Bri Priya Gafen first, and then make a Mekadesh HaShabbat. Why? Because he says, were it not for the fact that you had grape juice, or if you're doing on a bread, had bread, you wouldn't be able to make Kiddush at that point. Consequently, you could apply the logic in the reverse manner, that the fact that we have grape juice at our disposal is, or wine, I should say, is enabling us to make Kiddush. Consequently, that should go first. Now, since the logic could be thrown either way, the Gemara brings another reason for Beit Hillel. And that follows the principle that we see in many other places. That is, tadir v'she'enu tadir, if you've got something that's more frequent, and something that is less frequent, tadir kodim, the more frequent thing goes first. So in this case, since someone will make a Bri Priya Gafen, a bracha on grape juice or wine, far more frequently than Kiddush Hayom, consequently, according to Beit Hillel, that should go first. Fine. Now let's learn the second Mishnah. Beit Shammai says, Notlin liyadain v'achar kach mozgin et hakos. U'Beit Hillel omrim, mozgin et hakos v'achar kach notlin liyadain. What are we talking about? To understand this Mishnah, we need to introduce a few important points regarding Tumah and Tahara. Purity and impurity. So you may have what's called a source of Tumah, which is referred to generally as an Avatumah. There are other sources. A met is called an Aviavototumah, but to simplify, you may have a source of Tumah, for example, a dead sheretz, one of the eight teeming creatures, I should say, or we've seen other sources of Tumah already in our study of Brachot. Now, an Avatumah can pretty much make anything that's susceptible to Tumah Tameh, be it people, kalim, food, drink. Now, in the normal scheme of things, there are certainly exceptions, we learn many of them in our study of Taharot in a number of years' time, that when Tumah is passed on to another item, it generally dissipates in its potency, for want of a better description. So, for example, if an Avah Tumah comes into contact with something, that would become a Rishon Tumah. Let's call it a first-degree Tumah. Now, Rishon Tumah can make Tameh only food and drink. It can't make Tameh utensils or people. Now, those things would become a Sheni L'Tumah, secondary-degree Tumah. Now, Sheni L'Tumah can't really make anything Tameh, except for Truma, which would become a Shlishi, and the thing that can get to a Revi is Kodshim, meaning Korbanot. Now, that's a normal flow of things, and it generally goes in that direction, in a downward direction. However, let's introduce another concept. When it comes to Tameh liquids, when liquids become Tameh, because a lot of the time one cannot discern where various liquids come from. For example, even if one may make tamer a drink or something because it came to contact with a liquid, however, you will not be able to differentiate between that and a liquid that would be, for example, a rishon l'tumah, a liquid that, say, for example, came from a sheretz. Or even more potent forms of mashkin that are tamer, for example, a rock, the spittle of a zav, which would be an avatumah itself. Consequently, Chazal made a gzeira that if liquids become tameh, it creates a loop in our chain. For example, let's say a rishon l'tumah came into contact with a liquid. That liquid will now be able to make tameh either kalim, and it becomes what's called a tchila, a rishon l'tumah itself. Just to add one an extra very important point, and we'll summarize some of these points as we go through the Mishnah. One important point is sometimes when Chazal make a gzeira, a rabbinic injunction when it comes to tumantara, they'll make what's called a heker, a change in the law, so we know this tum is omid rabbanan, because sometimes it can make a difference. That's the study much further down the track. So one instance is that if a tame liquid that's only tame mid rabbanan comes into contact with the back of a kli, then only the back of that kli is tame and not the inside. That's really that's a gzeira. Normally, if a source of tumah touched the back of the kli, a non-regular kli, we're not talking about kli cheres at the moment, that's a separate discussion, then the whole kli would become tame. That's a heker that's built into it. Now let me introduce you to another important point. Why do we wash our hands? Why do we do nitle edayim before consuming bread? Chazal understood that yadayim askiyunot hen, that people are unconscious of what their hands are touching or fiddling. If I asked you what were the last four things your hands touched, you probably wouldn't be able to answer me. Consequently, they made a gzeira that stam yadayim, hands in general, are referred to as a sheni latuma, a secondary tuma. Now that ordinarily wouldn't affect anything except for truma. It's very simple to matahar one's hands. They don't have to go to mikveh. They simply do what we refer to as netilat yadayim. However, that gezeira, the requirement of washing hands, I should say for bread, for the main staple of the meal, that applied to everybody. To get all the kohanim into the habit, to get everyone into the habit of washing their hands before a main meal, so not run into the problems of, so for example, that kohanim would have of having tamia hands and come into contact with Truma. Having said all that, now let's try and understand this Mishnah. Beit Shammai says one should not lean the yadayim, one should wash his hands, v'charkach muzgin atkos, and then, meaning doing nitle yadayim, and then pour his cup of wine and make a prayer gafen. Or Beit Hillel says no. Beit Hillel, the school of Hillel says, or they say, muzgin atkos, no, you should make a prayer gafen first, pour that wine, v'charkach, not lean the yadayim, and then wash your hands. So what is going on here? I've already explained the need of nitle yadayim. I've already explained the concept of the gzeira that tamei liquids can create a loop in the chain, and the exception in that loop. There's one other point that I want to mention. There's a machloket, a debate between Beit Shammai and Hillel, whether one can use a cup, a cup that has become tamei by liquids and only tamei on the outside in an ideal manner. Beit Shammai says you cannot, whereas Beit Hillel says you can. So let's try and piece this all together now. Beit Shammai says you should wash your hands first and then make a borei prayer gafen. Why is that so? He says, because if you make a borei prayer gafen first, we're going to run into a potential problem. Some of the water might spill onto the person's hands, who is sheni latuma, because they're stam yadayim, he hasn't washed his hands yet. And that liquid now is tamei liquids, and we said that creates a loop in the chain. And now that liquid can now matame the back of the cup. And you'd be now handling a cup. Granted, the liquids inside would be okay, but the outside of that cup would be tameh, and we've just said, according to Beit Shammai, you cannot use a tameh cup to make kiddush. Consequently, for him, it's best one washes his hands first. Beit Hillel has a different position. Why? Because Beit Hillel says, from the outset, one can already be using a tameh cup. Consequently, let's say it went the other way around. Let's say the person washed his hands first and didn't make a borei prayer gafen first. So he washed his hands first. His hands are now tahor. He picks up the cup. Some of the wine from the cup spills out and comes into contact with the cup. Now, the back of the cup, we said, he could be tamet. He's allowed to use a cup whose back is tamet. That liquid would now become tamet as well. And metame, the person's hands. So we're back to square ones. It's almost like he hasn't even washed his hands. He's got tame hands once again. Consequently, according to Beit Hillel, it is far better for him to make kiddush first, because the risk it is running of making a kli tame on the outside is not really a risk at all, because he's allowed to use a cup that is tame on the outside. And then only after he's made borei prayer gafen, then he can wash his hands and rid himself of all tumat yadayim. Those are the Mishnahs today. And I suggest you listen to this year again, because there are quite a few new concepts in the world of Tumah and Tahara, which we are to meet, maybe not very soon, but certainly in the future. Those are the Mishnah today.